reading from the Bhagavatamrita, book 1, chapter 6, text 9. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tushnim Bhutas Chate Sarve Vartamana Savismayam Tatasi Naradam Taptam Aikshantapurvacheshtatam. All of them sat there silent in shock. They saw that Sri Narada had arrived and that he was acting strange. Commentary. These devotees who would regularly take part in Krishna's daily palace activities were dismayed that Krishna was lying in bed way past the time he normally rose. It was obvious to them that something was seriously wrong, but they couldn't discern exactly what. Nonetheless, they now had to attend to Narada's arrival. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Taksuran Mulatam Yeto Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Vairagya Yudbhakti Visham Priyatnai Apayamam Anabipsamandam Kritam Budhiya Paraduka Dukhi Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Vayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Nisant Falls. So nice to be here. I can explain in my own place and real happening place. Last night there was a concert in Hudson that's just 20 minutes from here by Gauravani. And on Friday I gave the a class for the teacher training that's going on there in Hudson. Such a wonderful group of people. And today I'll also go to take lunch with them. Nice devotee cook there that's doing that. Just another, we're having our Memorial Day weekend festival, otherwise known as the Panihati, but we don't really have that theme anymore. We do have our children's festival, and this year it's going to be really quite unique. Because from 11 to 4, we're having a yoga festival. I was joking that the yogis do a bhakti fest and we do a yogi fest. But it should be quite interesting. Raghunath's going to organize that, and it's a joint effort with other yoga teacher leaders in New York City and upstate. So just from 11 to 5, it's 4. They'll come, and especially those who have families. Generally you see these activities are generally in the yoga scene. It's for the the adults, you know, and people with children have, sometimes it's difficult to find something they can do, but they can drop off their children. And we have Jai Subhadra, Kishori Radha, and others, professional teachers with so many activities for them. And then they'll just have a 4 or 5 hours of kirtan talks and, I guess, yoga exercise. And then at 4 o'clock, the revolves, they're inviting all their congregation. So everyone will join together there at that time for artik and kirtan. People from the yoga world, the devotees who've come, and the Indian congregation. And the nice thing, too, is, one, it's all out of love. You know, usually these programs, they charge a lot of money for people, but the revolves are just sponsoring the whole thing, and they'll be cooking all the special Gujarati snacks during the day that the people could take. And then at 5 o'clock, there'll be some type of feast. And then at 7, this is kind of nice, I'll do some speaking. And then I just got a message from Shamdas, who's a very nice devotee and a very learned person and a kirtanier. He'll do kirtan. So it's really nice. It's almost kind of a unique function, bringing all these different people together. So kind of looking forward to it. It's kind of turning out nice in that way. So now we're up to the part where Narada, in his search for the topmost devotee, and this has to be the heart of someone who's interested in spiritual life, the eagerness to seek out quality association in spiritual life. Quality association means more advanced than one in spiritual life, within the parameters of the same mood or faith and relationship. Because in the path of bhakti, developing a relationship, a spiritual relationship, is at the core of bhakti. The goal is to develop the perfect relationship with the Supreme, and that's done through the medium of developing perfect relationships with those who represent the desire of the divine. So it's such a nice example, and this really should be our life. For serious advancing in spiritual life, we should seek sangha. We should seek proper people and hear and exchange with them. Mahat sevam dvaram ahura vimuktes. Bhatseva Dvaram, the association of great souls, is the door. The door. Bhurijan Prabhu sometimes talks about spiritual life, and entering into spiritual life is opening a door. He made a nice point that our door for spiritual life, the door, to open up the door, is to follow our taste in spiritual life. That's what's so nice about bhakti. There are a variety of activities. Worship of the deities, sankirtan, meditation, service, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam. Service to the lotus feet means service, humble service. There's yogic meditation, and there's visualizations. There's a whole variety of ways. But it's all based on the inspiration that comes from the proper spiritual relationships. And Narada, who's representing Guru, and in representing Guru, Narada is the Guru to so many people, but what is his qualification? That he's the disciple to so many people. He wants to surrender and give his life, Ishvara Pranidhan, to give one's life to God. And he looking and searching and offering himself, inspired. And so his search is our search, just like Lord Chaitanya's search is our search. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna searching for himself. It's Krishna trying to develop his eternal relationship with Krishna. His yearning, his hankering is for Krishna. And hankering for Krishna means hankering for relationship with Krishna. Mahajana Yena Kata Sapanta. The Panta, the path, is following the Mahajans. And with enthusiasm. And bhakti is enthusiasm. It's attachment. Attachment for Krishna. Attachment for things in relationship to Krishna. And what's the basis of enthusiasm? It's attachment. What you like, you are enthusiastic about. So this liking, Prabhupada sometimes described faith as a liking. Very simple word, but think about it. What is the faith in bhakti? It's a liking for what? A liking to serve Krishna. A liking to serve Krishna is the seed of faith. And when that liking increases, then that faith matures to the level of a sadhu sangha. When that faith increases, it matures to the level of bhajana kriya, practice. When the liking increases, then you give up things that have no value to that relationship. So Narada, we see, he's seized by this exalted love of Godhead. And the seed of that is his enthusiasm for good association of devotees. And he moves helplessly because he's in love. And he's in the highest love. But he understands perfectly. Because love is the greatest teacher, just like a mother. When she loves the child, then she's a good mother. And that guides her. And so he's actually in a very high state of ecstasy, as classically described. And, of course, the story is being narrated by Marge Prickett in the last day of his life to his mother. And he asked his mother that you please listen carefully. So the pastimes will enchant the mind and awaken your ecstatic love. So listen attentively. So this is bhakti. It begins with consciousness turned towards God. And without that consciousness turned towards God, you don't receive the taste and full benefit of your spiritual activities. It's just like chanting japa. Unless it's attentive, it will not enchant the mind. It will not awaken the ecstatic love, worship of the deity. It's not attentive. That's where it begins. So he's trying to develop faith for that, but by telling him this is important, listen attentively. When you chant japa, there's two ways to focus the mind. One, out of attachment, and one is out of obligation. Out of obligation, out of attachment, and out of understanding. And out of understanding means you focus the mind because you understand it's beneficial. In other words, you can focus on something either if you're attached to it, you understand it's good. And so he's telling him, this is good. You listen attentively. It'll be benefit for you, and it will enchant your mind. So he begins to explain this story, and Krishna is disturbed. Now, this is really amazing, and the residents of Dwarka are outside his door. Now, what's his disturbance? We'll find out later that his disturbance is that he's separated from the residents of Vrindavan. He's in Dwarka, and he's very much attached to them. And so Uddhava is sitting outside because he's Krishna's attendant. Now, Narada is searching in the topmost devotee, and he's rightly been pointed to Uddhava, who has such love for Krishna. He's so close with Krishna that he is Krishna in the sense that when you love someone, their desire becomes yours. And a great part of what one is their desires. So when you love someone, you take their desires into your heart. And we all know from my Chaitanya that how you're feeling, if there's a mind-body connection, and there's a color code, red with rage, green with envy, pale with fright, feeling the blues. And he's so taking the mood that he practically looks like Krishna. I've seen this with children. Maybe because I'm a man, I see it more with sons and fathers, and maybe can understand more of that psychology. But I've seen where a son who respects his father and emulates his father morphs into that. They develop the same expressions, the same desires, the same mannerisms, and the same speech patterns. So Uddhava has this constitutional Krishnamayi. Radharani is Krishnamayi. It means she's composed of Krishna. She's full of Krishna. So the great devotees, they're full of Krishna. And so he's looking for Uddhava, what to speak of. He not only has the desire to serve Krishna, he not only has the mood of Krishna, but he has the full capacity to serve Krishna. The spiritual world is described that it's all wound up in one. With the desire to Krishna, with the desire to serve Krishna comes the accoutrements, the facilities to serve Krishna, and the expertise to serve Krishna. So they're sitting there and they're in a state of shock because they're so attuned to Krishna. And that's what Jiva Goswami described happiness as. The real happiness is love, where happiness is the happiness of your beloved. And that's the happiness, loving happiness, paradukha dukhi. That's that glorification of Sanatana Goswami. Paradukha dukhi, that he has no suffering. Paradukha dukhi, the only suffering is the suffering of others. So in love, the only happiness is the happiness of others. But somehow or other, that type of happiness is greater than personal happiness. That's the nature of love. Although one's not seeking personal happiness, that is happiness. And they saw that Narada had arrived and that he was acting strange. The devotees are dismayed that something was wrong. Nonetheless, here comes Narada. And that's also important. They have to attend to his arrival. So we'll read about that. Yet not aniya swastyam nitvakshane natam tamashru kvina vadanam vakshalya pusanai lagu. Standing up, they brought him carefully to where they had been sitting. They took a moment to restore him to a condition closer to normal. Wiped dry his face, wet with tears of love. Then they spoke to him simply and gently. We can have an image of that. Narada is enthusiastic and ecstasy. He's wandering. He winds up in the palace. The ecstatic Satvika bhavs are manifest in his body. Tremendous emotion and enthusiasm. And they stand up and they bring him very carefully where they had been sitting. And they try to calm him down. And then they take a fresh cloth and wipe his face, which are wet with tears of love. And then, because the devotee, his actions manifest the heart, that the devotees, they in such a situation, they speak very simply and very, very gently. But they also spoke simply and gently because they were still cognizant that Krishna had not awakened. And they also didn't want to, they wanted to deal carefully with Narada in that emotional state. So you can see how absorbed they are. They're serving the devotee and then they're serving Krishna and they're cognizant of Krishna while they're serving the devotee. They're speaking very softly. They don't want to disturb Krishna. They also don't want Narada to be further disturbed. Adista purvam asmabhi kirdisham te vyacheshtitam akasmikam midam brahmam tushnim upavishashanam. They said, we have never seen you before like this. What is this sudden change in you, dear Brahman? Sit here quietly for a moment. Sri Parikshit said, Narada replied in a choking voice, tears flowing from his eyes. And as he began to speak, he opened his eyes with difficulty and bowed down to offer respects. He was trembling and the hairs on his body stood erect. So get the vision now of Narada. He's going to speak. But he's crying profusely, and he's in such what is called in Sanskrit, but it's a half-conscious state. So he slowly opens his eyes, and with difficulty, and then very gently bows down to offer respect to all the devotees. Then he stands up and he's trembling, and the hairs on his body are standing erect. He's just thinking just so much of Krishna and the devotees of Krishna. And spiritual light rises to a whole other dimension. It's not an obligation or duty to become purified. It's something that you not only want to do, but you can't even stop. This is what Narada says. Sinarda Uvacha. Mano gisabhagya paraikavajanam mayasamang sangamayatvamudavam tadiyapadhaika rajotavapavet tadaivashantir patamenta atmana. Sinarda said, please arrange for me to meet with Uddhava, the only true object of exquisite good fortune. Wow. Sovagya, mana gya, of exquisite sovagya. Mana gya, I guess it means to maybe enchant the mind. It's exquisite, this good fortune. This thing, it's just so enchanting. The object of the most beautiful good fortune. Vajanam, he's the recipient. And Eka, this is it. He's the topmost. Or let me have from his feet one particle of dust. Then alone my heart will be at peace. So why is the heart unpeaceful? It's because desires are unfulfilled. So the attachments are strong. He wants the association of Uddhava. There's great love in his heart for Uddhava as the representative of Krishna. And that's his hankering. And he's telling them, I won't be peaceful or happy. Uddhava was present right in front of Narada, but the sage in his ecstasy failed to notice him. Narada first begged to be brought before Uddhava, but then reconsidered and thought himself probably unworthy to meet him. By explaining the demands of his heart, Narada answered the question about the cause of his strange behavior. I'm just going to read on until something has to be commented on. Puratanai adni kaischa sevakai alabdham aptolam anugraham pravo mahattamo bhagavateshu yastato mahavibhuti swayam uchite chaya. He has received an abundance of our Lord's mercy never gained by the Lord's other servant in the past or even now. Uddhava is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. The Lord himself calls Uddhava one of his own expansions. So that's in the 11th canto. Krishna speaking to Uddhava describes his opulences and material manifestations, and he declares, Uddhava, Vasudevo Bhagavatam, Tvam Tu Bhagavate Shaham. Among those entitled to the name Bhagavan, I am Vasudeva. And you, Uddhava, indeed represent me among the devotees. Very intimate spontaneous service. And that's his life. No one has ever been as dear to the Lord, neither the Lord's direct sons like Brahma, nor friends like Shiva, nor brothers like Balaram, nor the goddess Rama, or the Lord's other wives. Not even his own unique transcendental body is as dear. Well, very interesting commentary that Narada is saying this because Krishna himself has said, no one is as dear to me as Uddhava. There's a nice commentary with Sridhar Maharaj, and because, you know, how can Uddhava be even more dear than Balaram and other supreme persons? And well, the answer is he says it, but it's this verse that's given in the Bhagavatam that's glorifying Uddhava. It's cited before in praise of Prahlad. And the commentary, Sridhar Maharaj said, this is because when Krishna was speaking this verse, he wanted to say, no one is dear to me as my devotee. But because he had such a deep friendship with Uddhava, and Uddhava was right before him, at the last moment, he switched from no one from Naivatma cha yata bhakta to Naivatma cha yata bhavan, that no one is as dear to me as you. But in context, the Lord's original intent was just to glorify the devotees who have no other goal than to please Krishna, and therefore they've won Krishna's heart. I think that's going to be described in another verse here, unless the word comes up. But and when Krishna speaks to Uddhava, the Uddhava Gita, and when he tells him the Parama Guhyam, the topmost secret in spiritual life is, if you want God, you have to serve the devotee. And the reason is because the devotee has God. Because he serves the Supreme Lord, he serves Krishna with such intensity, then Krishna is bound by the desire of the devotee. That's natural, to be bound by those who you love. And who do we love? We love people who we have relationship with. And the symptom of relationship is you give yourself to one another. So those devotees who give themselves fully to Krishna, then Krishna, in his wonderful personality, is bound by their love. This point can't be stressed enough, that to be bound by love makes one great. And to not be bound by love makes one indifferent or impersonal. So the opulence of the Supreme, the ultimate opulence of the Supreme, is his loving nature. And that loving nature means that you become subservient to the desires of whom you love. So Krishna is arrested, Krishna is controlled by his devotees. So when one wants Krishna, the topmost secret is, if you want Krishna, then you have to develop a relationship with a devotee who has Krishna. And then the same process will be there. the devotee, then Krishna has come to him, and he gives Krishna to you. So this Uddhava is very special. The Supreme Lord's own words disclosed in the Puranas tell the abounding glories of Uddhava's good fortune. Those words, born of Sri Krishna's causeless mercy, are unlike any others heard in this world. The Yadava heroes now tell those words in song. Alas, when those words enter the home of my heart, through the gateway of my ears, they steal all my wealth of sobriety. So this is Narada. So he says, when I've heard this, these special words, what are the special words? Because he has faith where? His faith is in Krishna. In the words of Krishna saying how much he loves Uddhava. Just think of what that means, that you have absolute faith in someone, and someone says, this is the person who has stole my heart. Just like we have faith in Prabhupada. And imagine if Prabhupada said about a particular person, glorified this person above any other person, what we would think about that person, how much we'd want to be with that person, if we actually love Prabhupada. And that person is absolutely qualified. I give you an example. When I was in Prabhupada's room, this was in 77, Prabhupada came back to Vrindavan to leave this world. And I woke up in the morning, and when I woke up, I found that devotees had already been informed. And there was a flurry of activity to prepare things. Prabhupada's coming. And Prabhupada came. There weren't that many people there because in those days, not many people lived in Vrindavan. They came once a year during Gaur Purnima, and that's it. Besides that, Vrindavan was desolate. Prabhupada was concerned. We couldn't even rent one room in the Krishna Balaram guest house. The whole thing was just empty. That's what Vrindavan was like. So we went to Prabhupada's room, and then he told us he was to leave. I told this story many times. And then I was there, sitting before Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada started to say, Prabhupada was, I wouldn't call it lamenting, but remembering Jayananda. And I just was sitting there, Prabhupada was saying, he helped me so much. You know, because Prabhupada said about he gave the money for the first printing of the Nectar of Devotion or something, was it? What a service that was. And Prabhupada was saying he helped me so much. And Prabhupada said when he died, Prabhupada said put him on the Vaishnav calendar. So we accept Prabhupada's authority. Prabhupada says that about a particular person, that he should be up there with, you know, Rupa and Sanatana, you know, Tirubhav, Mahotsava. So then we develop a love for that person. We develop some affection for him. And then those words that Prabhupada says, glorifying him, when we hear them, they cause some emotion, according to our qualification. Now, so to see what Narada is feeling when he hears these words about Uddhava, because Krishna loves Uddhava. Narada loves Krishna, then Narada loves Uddhava. And those words glorifying, because when you love someone and you hear their glorification, and it's not just eulogy, it's legitimate love, based on a worthy object of love, and that comes into your heart, it must have some effect. So he's saying, Bhagavat Vachanani, of these words, it's the Lord's own words, Puranata, and also made known in the Puranas, Uddhava. And what about Uddhava? Sobhagya, Sandoha, the Mahimam, the glories of Uddhava's abundant good fortune. These were revealed. These were revealed in the Puranas, Uddhava's abundant good fortune. And those words, Jatani, which are born prasadha of the Lord's mercy of Sri Krishna, are abhutani. They're amazing. And they are not only amazing, but Jagat Vilakshatani, they're unique in this world. And they're sung about. They're sung. The Madhavis sing these songs. Everyone's singing now the glories of Uddhava. And when Karna Dwarena, through the gateway of my ears, they enter into my heart through the gateways of my ears, then what happens? Lutanti, they plunder forcibly what? The Darya Dhanam, the wealth of my sobriety. Sobriety is a wealth. You have control, and the booty is strong. You don't act simply impulsively. It's such a wealth to see someone who's a sober person. And now this sobriety is finished. So Narada's bhav, his devotion, is coming out about Uddhava. So now let's hear what are these words. Let's hear what Krishna said about Uddhava. Commentary. Narada is an authorized acharya of the Vaishnava Sampradaya. For him, therefore, the highest evidence by which to prove anything is the expressed opinion of the personality of Godhead. And the effect of the Lord's words on the thought and behavior of his devotees. In regard to Uddhava, Krishna has stated his opinion clearly. Taitat paramanguyam srinvato yadu nandana gopyam api vakshami tvame britya suratsaka. My dear Uddhava, O beloved of the Yadu dynasty, because you are my servant, my friend, my well-wisher. This is what Krishna says, Vritya, Surit, Sukha. Surit, you're close in heart, you're well-wisher. Sukha, you're my friend. Vritya, you're my servant. Please let me explain the Parama Guyam. I'm going to tell you the most secret of theories. And this is when he tells them that the devotees. And then Krishna explains, as the 11th canto, the 3rd canto, Nodavo napiman yunyo yadunar nardita prabhu ato madvayunam lokam kahayan iha tikshtatu. Uddhava is not inferior to me in any way because he is never affected by the modes of nature. Therefore, he may remain in this world to disseminate specific knowledge of the personality of God. So Krishna leaves the planet. He takes everyone else. All the associates go with him. He arranges this fratricidal war. And who does he entrust with the knowledge of him? That's Uddhava. Now it starts to get interesting. We'll see. Impelled by great respect for Narada, Uddhava suddenly stood up, held Narada's feet, and embraced him. aware of what Narada was thinking, Uddhava remembered many devotees who had received the Lord's special favor. As Uddhava meditated on those devotees, their love for the Lord, and the wealth of their loving ecstasy, he felt distress, thinking himself fallen and crying helplessly. Only with some effort was he able to regain his composure. Then he became joyful and spoke to the sage, moved by the sattvic emotion of jealousy. So it's just describing, this is dainya, it's utter humility. When he's glorified, because he doesn't have that frame of reference, he's always thinking of Krishna and Krishna's glories. So when you're always focused on Krishna and Krishna's glories, the ego of superiority it's very foreign to one. Because the consciousness, that's what spiritual person is. He's so much focused on the Supreme Lord that he's not dwelling and living in one's own egotistical conceptions of aggrandizement. Where when you're not a spiritually focused person, that's basically all the mind does. The mind is constantly protecting one's sense of superiority, or desiring superiority and lamenting that one is not. But either way, either the conception of superiority or the desire for superiority becomes very, very much prominent in the material consciousness. But one who is so focused on God doesn't have a sense of significance. And in the cosmic scheme of things, one is insignificant. Not worthless, because we're of God and we have relationship with God. That doesn't arise, so it's very foreign to such a person. So when all this praise is being heaped on him, then immediately what does Uddhava do is he begins to think of great devotees whom he is, because he's saying he's the greatest of devotees, so he's in his mind saying, what? And then he thinks of all these devotees, and then compared to these devotees, he's thinking himself nothing. And then that emotion, he begins to cry helplessly. And then it says he becomes jealous, but it says it's a sattvika bhav. It's just something in relationship to love. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Muni, do you have any questions? It's nice when you do that. I don't know if this class invoked.
Maharaj?
Yeah.
Thanks for another great class.
A question came to my mind earlier in the discussion when you were talking about Bhurijan Prabhu's idea that the door to bhakti, I think, or the door to your spiritual progress is the taste you have for, yeah, I guess, bhakti practices and things like that. Yeah. And it reminded me of a conversation that I had fairly recently with a friend who, let me just ask this to you. Do you think it's a correct idea traditionally that gurus and disciples have a relationship where, like, the sadhana is carved out on an individual level? And do you think that that might be a challenge for us to find out how to do that? This may be a charged question, but it's a live issue for some people. How to negotiate your individual spiritual practice, and do teachers have that authority traditionally, or is that a misunderstanding?
It's a very, very fine line, because the principle of spiritual life is called the nugata. You follow in the path,
mm-hmm.
So that's the mood of a disciple, right? You follow the previous teachers. Now, within that, of course, there's also details and principles, you know. So technically speaking, in one sense, and I'm just going to bring it in a contemporary way, you know, in one sense, you know, there's leeway for change. Even, you know, what the Gaudiya Math did and what Prabhupada did are not the same. You know, I got the impression the Gaudiya Math, it was kind of like, yeah, 64 rounds, you know, but, you know, if you're doing service, like only four, you know, I mean, it was like you should be chanting all day, there was some leeway, et cetera. Now, but the thing is also is, you know, in so many times, in so many ways, you know, Prabhupada really made it definitive what he thought an appropriate and minimum sadhana was. So, you know, I would say there could be a very, very legitimate tension for one who's guiding to remain under the really specific instructions Prabhupada gave, and then within those instructions see how, you know, can it be adjusted. For example, I don't know, but I remember your Guru Maharaj or something, he's not going to tell people, you know, to have another standard, but, you know, try to do that, but if you can do this, you know, but at least do this, you know. So I think it has to be very, very careful. And you know, I think it has to be extremely careful because there's potency in following, you know. And I really think also in terms of followers of Prabhupada and teachers, because of Prabhupada's prominence and because of what Prabhupada did, as teachers, you know, really try to, you know, point to Prabhupada, you know, and point people to Prabhupada and Prabhupada's instructions and Prabhupada's teachings, etc. So I don't think it's such an easy point, you know, to even Prabhupada had to be very careful in terms of individual instructions, because he was called Acharya too, you know, what he said would be for everyone. So I think it's a very, very subtle and complex point, you know, and I can understand the tension on both sides. One, that, you know, people are finding it difficulty, and, you know, and then you look around and people are not meeting the standard, and, you know, even, you know, when you're preaching, you know, and you see that there's such a high standard to kind of be linked, you know, it's almost like, you know, if you want to be a Catholic, okay, then you just say you're a Catholic, you know. There's no like, you know, you can, you know, you have to chant, you know, 300,000 rosaries and, you know, and do this.
Well, they do have things like us, but they're not as extreme.
I don't want to say extreme. They don't have the standard we have. But I'm just saying, so I could see at the same time that I feel like, wow, you know, and especially, you know, someone, you know, there's other designations, like someone had, you know, you kind of get a name, you know.
Yeah.
It's like almost, you know, you kind of get a name, you know, and then that's also, now you have a spiritual name, you know, that makes it, you know, and that also comes at initiation. So you don't really even get recognized until this high standard and, you know, adjustments, et cetera. So I don't think it's a simple one either way to say, you know, but I kind of like, you know, what I remember talking to you, what your Guru Maharaj said to some, you know, he was going to say, don't do the standard, but, you know, that's what he told him, you know, do what you can and, you know, work your way up to it or something. You know, and there's also something also, too, that I've seen. There is something about setting a high standard, too. I mean, there's benefits to that, too. Of course there's benefits to it, but in the overall scheme of things also, you know, Prabhupada is very serious. You know, what, you know, basically what our process of spiritual life means is if you look at it, is you know, you should be chanting all day, you know, whenever you're not doing anything. You know, that's spiritual life. You know, and Prabhupada said, you know, what he thought was the minimum. You know, so it seems to have worked, you know.
In
what sense?
You mean in helping to found an organization?
He said standards. I see it when I'm out in the world, you know, and even, you know, I don't want to, even, you know, there's something about setting standards. Even I know this one person who's a very prominent Balaba, you know, and then he visited some, you know, the standards that Prabhupada set were high, and you see that in the even if everybody can't follow everything, there's something very, very special about the seriousness of spiritual life, which people with Prabhupada inculcated, where you can easily lose it.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, and 16 rounds is minimum. You know, but it's, you know, Prabhupada was trying to bring people, you know, to transcendentalists. He's trying to make people transcendentalists. And that doesn't mean renunciates. So I don't know if there's a better way to, you know, to do it, you know, reduce it more, or what you're saying is an individual can look at the person and, yeah.
Sorry, please forgive me. Yeah, I didn't mean to speak over you. My question wasn't just about, like, reduction of standards. It was actually about, I mean, that may be one part of it, but it's also the idea that, you know, Panchanga Bhakti, right, the five most potent forms we see in the nectar of devotion. What if you find someone who was just in love with puja? It seems like I have this idea in my mind traditionally of a guru saying, okay, you know, I see that you have such a taste for this. Your sadhana is to do such and such deity worship, let's say for a couple hours a day, whatever. And then you also chant four rounds because you have to have Nam Sankirtan as part of that. I'm just imagining that in my mind. You know what I mean? Or someone who's a Shastri. Okay, you're a Shastri, your sadhana, your vow is you are going to study the Bhagavata commentaries for an hour and a half every day, and then you also have some Nam Sankirtan. That, in other words, it's not just can we do less that I'm talking about, although I think that may be part of it.
I'm just saying that leeway is there. I think it's there with Prabhupada. I think it's there with his followers. But there was a minimum standard. And the you know, Namashreshtams, Talamadde Namashreshtam, Namasankirtan, Nira Aparade Poya Paya Premadan. Namashreshtam, Taramadhyay, of all the nine processes, chanting Hare Krishna is the best. And by doing it without offense, one can achieve love of Godhead. So that's the tradition, you know. So it's the best, you know. And then what to speak of kirtan, it's the best. And within that, obviously there was leeway, and people were engaged in different ways. I mean, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says that, you know, the spiritual master finds the ways and means to engage the disciples in spiritual life. So that's definitely there. What I would say is the only perhaps attention about it or something like that, you know, is that there are universal standards, you know. And once you do the universal standards, it seems maybe there's no time for anything else or something like that. Or maybe someone can be absorbed in another way better or something. But definitely the principle is there with all teachers, you know. But it's, you know, that, okay, now I'm understanding your question. Okay, now I got it. Okay, it took me a while. The principle, I said that your taste for spiritual life opens the door, and then you wanted to know is there leeway for the people to do that?
Right.
I think there is. Why isn't there leeway? What do you see as? Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Why do you ask the question? Why is there not leeway? What is preventing people from giving leeway?
what is preventing individuals from following their taste, or what is preventing teachers?
And that's why I mentioned the 16 rounds thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's why I immediately went to the 16 rounds thing, because that's what's questioned. You understand? Because no one's going, Guru Dave, I'd like to do something. I'm really into deity worship. Great, do it. I really like
to study
the Shastra.
So the point is,
here's the ability to study the Shastra. So the problem's not there. So I'm just saying, that's why I went right to the point of what's being questioned is that. And that's why I said there's, that's the tension in one sense.
Well, it's also
it's really focused on that. Can that be changed? And would it be beneficial to change that? I guess we have to say that Prabhupada thought no, because he thought that, this is the most important thing. You know what I'm saying? And I want to make one point here, too, is that, I see Prabhupada's vision, I see Prabhupada's vision in the sense of so many things. Yeah. Anyway, that's the tension, now, can someone go say, wow, you're married and, now you have you have three kids, only do this. You know what I'm saying? Does he have the leeway or you have to, and I'm saying that's where the tension is, because anugata, you're following, and Prabhupada said these things. So it does create a little tension, even. Maybe some, and then the thing is once you get people on the mental plane, they'll do nothing.
that's why you prevent them from getting on the mental plane by giving their gurus the leeway to say, this is your commitment, and you're working it out with me as an individual. To me, that's the whole point. The point is otherwise, people who do face circumstances like that, they end up figuring out their sadhana on their own. And that's pretty much what people do.
But the point I was making is Prabhupada said 16 rounds, and he said it so many times in his books, and you have to deal very carefully with that.
Okay.
You have to deal very, very carefully with that. That's what I'm saying, And if you don't deal carefully with that, you will get people on the mental plane. So I'm just saying, you have to deal very, very carefully with that. And therefore, I don't think it's going to be a public thing, that people are going to make statements. Because I don't think they want to mess with those things, because there's potency in them. And Prabhupada stated, if people want to do things themselves, individual relationship with people, then they can do it. But they have to be very, very careful to deal with standards and things that Prabhupada set, they have to be very, very careful with those things.
Okay, just a side question, which is related to this.
Yeah.
Is it true that in some sampradayas, when you take diksha, your diksha is into deity worship? I think you've mentioned that before to me, right? That when you take initiation, you're given a deity, so in other words, there is a wide range of the idea of diksha, although you're also given mantras. Do I just understand that correctly historically? I'm not saying in our sampradaya, but I've heard that come up, and I thought you might have mentioned something. I'm just wondering.
Anyway, it's called pancha samskara. Initiation is called pancha samskara. So there's five things in the initiation process. The first thing in the initiation process, what is it called? Tapa. There's some austerity. You're making a commitment. Then this pondra. Then you have the markings of your line, because you're in a particular line. Then there's nama. You get a different name. Then there's mantra. You get mantras, Gayatri mantras. And then there's svadhyaya. You get some study and some practice. So those are five things, and initiation means those pancha samskaras. In our line, teachers can divide them up in different ways. They can all be done at once, right? Or they can be divided. Now, I think Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta, they divided it. They divided that you get, first you get this, The Swadhyaya would be the, which act, no, no, is it Swadhyaya? No, then comes the worship of the deity. So what Prabhupada and Bhakti Siddhanta did, because they divided it into initiations. So the first one is Nam. And therefore you get the spiritual name, you get the whole, you know, you get the spiritual name, you're chanting the holy name, you know, the designations of the devotee, and, you know, the commitment. You know, so they put those, and then second initiation was the mantras, the Diksha mantras, and the worship of the deity. So they divided those parts into two. The Pancha Samskaras are into two parts. But traditionally, I believe that initiation meant the mantras. You know, you would get the mantras, and the mantras would enable you to worship the deity. And there are different lines that your initiation means that you do worship the deity. And if you're not into that, you don't even get initiation.
Right.
So there are different things that divide things in different ways. You know, and therefore, when we say diksha generally means the second initiation. But we take it generally to just mean initiation in general. And because we place more emphasis on Nam, that initiation had become prominent. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Marge, I appreciate your answer. I see that it's a really delicate thing, and I do want to just agree with you that when I've met people who are serious about practice who aren't connected to Prabhupada, they remark on the fact that how well the seriousness that Prabhupada's followers do have about sadhana and renunciation, you know, that we value it in a way that people often aren't trained to value that. And so, you know, I agree with your point there about the danger of kind of fiddling with certain things. But all right, thanks, Marge. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, I understand the tension. Okay. Anybody else have a question?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail. Hare Krishna.
Hello? Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This is Gail.
Yeah, Gail. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I was back to your lecture. I was also struck when you said that part about Uddhava, you know, being even more, I guess, dear or something than Balaram. And I know you tried to explain that with the commentary by, was it Sridhar Maharaj? But I just didn't understand the explanation.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to go all the way back there, but anyway.
Yeah.
That was my thing.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what his explanation was. What did he say?
He was saying, I got it.
He doesn't point to Uddhava. He was saying, no one is greater to me, than dear to me than the devotees. Right? And I guess your confusion was, well, all of the people he left listed was the devotees. But if that was said in relationship to Prahlad Maharaj, I remember there was some commentary that there was some special appreciation that for the people who had struggled to become devotees or something like that. It was in reference to something like that. But the question was, who was the devotees referring to? Because everybody else in that list was devotees. So I guess what he was saying is Krishna wasn't pointing out Uddhava as better than all those. The statement was that no one is more dear to me than the devotees. Let me go see what it says. I'm going to find the verse. One second. My dear Uddhava, neither Lord Brahma nor Lord Shiva nor Lord Narsankarshan, the goddess of fortune, nor indeed my own self, as is dear to me as you. And it should be as dear to me as my devotee. I guess that it says here in the purport that his original intention was to glorify the pure devotees. And so I guess there must be a distinction he's making between the pure devotees and, you know, Shankarshan, who's his incarnation, Balaram, who's his expansion, Goddess of Fortune, who is his Shakti. It's just like Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. So it made a distinction in that verse that there's five tattvas. There's Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam. There's the form of the devotee. There's the the sarupa of the devotee. There's the avatar of the devotee. There's the shakti of the devotee, and there's the devotee. So I guess it's referring to the pure devotees. You know, that I guess that sense of volition or will or coming to Krishna. And I think in these verses too, in that type of language. And Krishna is saying it, there's a certain emotion in a certain context in a certain time. And he's just really appreciating, rather than make the comparison negatively that the others are not appreciated, rather we should see the bhav, the emotion of what Krishna is doing, you know, and he's just really appreciating the devotees, the pure devotees, the Prabhupadas, the Bhakti Siddhantas, the Rupa Goswamis, as opposed to, you know, Lord Brahma, who's, you know, the engineer of this universe, and Lord Shiva, who's a transformation, and Shankarshan, you know, there's just something. It just really wants to glorify the devotees. The bhaktas, rather than the bhakta shaktis, the bhakti avatars, the bhakta rupas, and the bhakta sarups. So just look at it rather than an absolute comparison. Just look at it as really just highlighting from the heart of Krishna how much he appreciates those who surrender to him. There's just something so special. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just something so special, and Krishna loves it, and it's a great thing. You know, and it's really something special too. Yeah, like we're just thinking of Jayananda, the devotee. You know. Gave his life, surrendered. It's some other kind of concept there. So some distinction is made. I don't know if it's an absolute. Well, the other things were all expansions of him. You know, that he mentioned Goddess of Fortune, except there's something special about the devotee. You know, and Yabhilashita Shunyam. Okay. Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Govardhan.
Okay, Govardhan, Hare Krishna. I still haven't worked out when I'm coming, but that's going to be soon. I'm figuring it out. Okay? And visit to a program by you. It's in my mind.
We'll be coming to Saturday program, Maharaj.
What's that?
We may be planning to come to Saturday program this coming Saturday. That's 2 hours.
Saturday. Oh, you're going to come to the 12-hour kirtan?
Oh, we are planning, Maharaj. All our Bhaktivinoda members.
Okay. I'm sure that place, because Radhanath Swami is going to be there, it's going to be packed to the rafters. Okay. Hare Krishna. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Nanda Dulal. Hare go. Great, thank you. Anybody
Haribol
else?
Maharaj. Haribol Maharaj. This is Chaitanya Priya. Chaitanya Priya.
Yeah, of course. I know who Chaitanya Priya is, of course. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful class.
Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Henry?
Yes, Maharaj.
Hey, Hare Krishna, Henry. Okay, I should touch base with you. I got a very nice note from that lady that we did the program at, Dr. Norris. Yeah, mm-hmm. really wants me to come back. I'll talk to you about that. Great. I think I heard Shastra in the background too, huh?
Hi, Maharaj, yes.
Okay. All right, well. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hello, Maharaj. Thank you for class. Wonderful class. Thank you.
Well, it's a lot of classes. I'm just figuring, let's see, two a week is... I've given over 350 of these Sangha classes, actually, if you add up the numbers. Probably coming close to 400 of them. Yeah, I like this back time, too, because, you know, to speak all the time, you have to read a lot, too. So now if I can stay here a few days, maybe I can do that. Thank you, Mother and Johnny. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Wow, well, we're getting some Midwest love. That's great.
Hi.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for being on. That's great. Wow. I spoke to Giriraj Swami. I heard that you may have a very wonderful guest. How
yeah.
wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Great.
Someday you can.
Thank you. Okay, I should come too. Yes, I should. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Janava.
Thank you, Janava.
Thank great. You.
I can't wait that you come up sometime around the East Coast. Just let me know, okay?
I
maybe
will.
We can coordinate something. Okay. Thank you. Okay, anybody else? Okay, then we'll say Vansha Kopa Tuvya Shaka Kasindhi Deva Chapati Tanam Pavanibhya Vaishnavi.